Hello and welcome to the Personal Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined today by Louisa Peacock. Coming up, we discuss NHS HR Chief Claire Chapman's calls for managers to free up time for patient care. We hear expert HR editors discuss the results of the 8th annual IRS survey of HR roles and responsibilities. And we look into the implications of the latest JEDI discrimination claim. But first, the news. New ITV boss Adam Crozier, formerly of the Royal Mail, will receive £16.8 million by 2015 if performance targets are hit. This includes a £625,000 golden hello in cash. Car manufacturer Nissan has secured more than 2,000 jobs in the northeast by confirming it will build its new electric car at its Sunderland plant. Production of the Leaf car will begin in Sunderland in 2013. An online job advert calling for applicants of Indian origin has sparked a racism investigation by the Equality Watchdog. IT firm Tory Harris, based in India and the UK, has since blamed the ad on human error. You can read these and other news stories in full on personneltoday.com. Louisa, you spoke to NHS HR Chief Claire Chapman earlier this week. She talked about reforming working practices on the back of the findings from the 2009 NHS staff survey. There's a huge understaffing problem in the NHS. What does Chapman think they should be doing about it?
Thanks, Tara. I spoke to Claire about the survey, as you say, which is now in its seventh year, and it showed that half of NHS workers warned trusts were understaffed and employees felt they lacked sufficient time to do their jobs properly. Now, Claire said, ultimately, while the survey shows the perceptions of staff, it's not necessarily a fact that wards are understaffed. She said there are things that people can do to release efficiencies into their day-to-day jobs. And she said it made a huge amount of sense, really, for departments and HR chiefs out across the NHS to look really at how nurses spend their time and to redesign the way that they work so they can free up time that's locked into administrative and logistical tasks at the moment, free up that time towards the front line. Claire told Personnel Today when I spoke to her that she said you can't always assume that the right answer is to throw more people at it. So in other words, you're not going to get any more people. There's not a budget to hire more people. Often it's redesigning the workplace and redesigning the work that leads to increased efficiencies and freeing up time. And she did talk about a couple of trusts that have done this already, where staff, particularly nurses, have been able to release significant amounts of time from administrative tasks so that they can invest it back into care.
So they're expecting the same number of people to do more work?
Well, perhaps that's what some of the actual workers would say themselves. I think from Claire Chapman's point of view, and certainly management and HR's point of view, is that, yes, you know, we've got a tighter budget going forward. That's the reality. So what can we do about this? It's kind of working smarter, introducing efficiencies. But of course, you have that same debate where the workers themselves feel that what we need is more people, and the people at the top are saying, no, what we need is to work smarter. So there's going to have to be some sort of compromise, I'm sure, from both sides on that.
Another thing that came out of the survey was that violence between staff is a problem in the NHS. What are they planning to do to combat this?
Yes, staff-on-staff violence, as it's known, is still at 2%. In 2008, the survey showed 2% as well. So that's 2% of staff saying they've suffered physical violence from other colleagues. Actually, the 2% figure from 2008 had actually got worse from 2007, although overall, Claire Chapman says that physical violence is down compared to previous years. So I think her view is that it's a relatively small story in the context of other improvements. That came out of the survey. For example, I think it's 9 in 10 employees actually feel they were making a difference to patients, and job satisfaction levels recorded are the highest they've ever been. However, it's still a fair amount of people that suffer physical violence, and when you look at verbal or mental abuse, such as bullying, harassment or abuse from line managers or colleagues, that's actually still fairly significant. 1 in 6 employees say that they've experienced bullying, harassment or abuse from their line manager or colleagues. And again, this is down 1% from previous years, but it's still 17%, which is fairly high. Now, Claire said to me that the survey shows staff are suffering the lowest level of abuse, both from patients and staff. However, she said you can't possibly defend 17% experiencing bullying or harassment. What you can do is demonstrate that by taking action, you can do something about it. So she's really calling on NHS boards and trusts out there to address this issue.
Thanks, Louisa. Expert HR editors Mark Crail, Michael Carty and Noel Murphy have been discussing the results of the newly released 8th annual IRS survey of HR roles and responsibilities.
Well, things still are very uncertain. We've got the January figures in already. That's an important month in the pay setting calendar. It's one of the big months. It sets an agenda for the rest of the year. And there are also a lot of pay settlements that take place that month. And we've seen a surprisingly large number of pay freezes in January. That's not good news for people in the HR profession, clearly. It follows on from a lot of pay freezes last year as well. And in fact, a number of the organisations that are freezing pay this year did so last year as well. So that's 2 years without a pay rise for people. However, when we asked HR practitioners, reward practitioners themselves back in the autumn, what did they expect to happen? They were a bit more optimistic than they had been a year earlier than that. They're expecting pay increases generally of around 1.2, 1.3%. So nothing substantial. But they are expecting things to pick up a bit, but it does all depend on the state of the economy, the ability of business to pay those pay increases.
One clear message that emerges may not be welcomed by HR departments. It looks like even with fragile economic recovery in prospect, further cutbacks to HR budgets would appear to be inevitable. Almost twice as many respondents to our survey believe that their annual HR activities budget will be cut back further over the next 2 years.
That was Mark and Michael talking about HR salaries and budgets. Here's what Noel had to say about HR priorities.
I suppose it'll come as no surprise that there was two key areas for priorities. One is ongoing restructuring and redundancy programmes, and the other is really all to do about mopping up the aftermath of redundancy programmes. So it's looking after the employees that remain. And a number of HR practitioners specifically referred to the need to kind of address morale issues amongst employees and to try to boost engagement levels amongst employees. So it's looking after those who've kind of remained. So alongside those two key issues, the usual perennials cropped up. So you've got absence management, training and development, and also performance management. We also kind of looked at the data that we got and looked at the different priorities by the different sectors. And it was very clear, really, that the sectors are in different places when it comes to restructuring, cost cutting, etc. The private sector are, you know, really they're either in the midst of it or coming out the other side. So they're looking at really managing those who remain, etc. But HR practitioners in the public sector, their priorities are quite different. They're actively looking at this stage at cost savings and looking at restructuring, redundancies, etc. So they're at the initial planning stages and private sector employers are coming out the other side.
Those comments came from Expert HR's video, Benchmarking HR Roles and Responsibilities. And you can find that at experthr.co.uk. Louisa, one of the other big stories this week has involved a member of the so-called Jedi faith. Chris Jarvis claimed religious discrimination after being thrown out of his local job centre for refusing to lower his hood. Does this signal that claims from members of the more bizarre religions are on the increase?
Yeah, thanks, Tara. It certainly does, according to employment experts, anyway, employment lawyers. Lisa Patmore from the law firm Pinsent Masons said that it's increasingly being argued that bizarre beliefs, as she puts it, are protected by legislation. Of course, last November, listeners might remember the Granger versus Nicholson case, where the judge ruled that an employee's environmental views should be classed as a protected belief and therefore protected under equality legislation. More recently, the Equalities and Human Rights Commission put out guidance to say that the likes of vegans and atheists could be protected under equality law, which caused quite a storm among HR because people were saying, you know, where does the line stop? The government had said the line did stop at Jedis. It said that the Church of Jediism was not recognised because it was based on a fictional movie, the Star Wars movie. However, part of the Jediism culture, if you like, is to wear hoods, and that's why this Chris Jarvis, who went into the job centre, refused to lower his hood because he felt it was part of his faith. He actually told the Sun newspaper, "I was just standing up for my beliefs. Muslims can walk around in whatever religious gear they like, so why can't I?" The Wendy Flowers, who's the job centre manager, did apologise to him for asking him to lower his hood. However, in a court of law, his case pretty much would be rejected. I think that's the general feeling out there. He doesn't really have a leg to stand on because, like I say, Jediism is based on a fictitious belief.
We also spoke to Expert HR employment editor John Reed about this story. What did he have to say?
Yeah, well, he basically was saying what is and what isn't counted under protected law. So he went through the reasons as to why Chris Jarvis wouldn't be protected under law. And you can find the full reasons and the full list quite interesting on our site, personaltoday.com, but I'll just go through a couple of them now. John says the first reason is that although there's no single definition of religion under discrimination law, in general terms, they require a clear structure and a belief system that isn't an entirely fictitious system, so Jediism obviously seems to lack. The second reason, Reed says, is that a belief system founded on Jediism is highly unlikely to constitute a protected philosophical belief. In its well-publicised decision on belief in the climate change case, which I mentioned earlier, the Granger versus Nicholson case, the Employment Appeal Tribunal stated that a belief in the supreme nature of the Jedi Knights would fail at least four of the five limitations drawn from previous case law on what amounts to a belief. And these state that a belief must attain a certain level of seriousness, cohesion and importance and must be worthy of respect in a democratic society. So unfortunately, I don't think by that ruling, Jediism would be included in that.
Thanks, Louisa. As Louisa said, you can read that story and all of today's stories in full on personaltoday.com. And keep a lookout for our next issue on March the 30th, which includes a feature on what a Conservative Party general election victory would mean for employers. And for employment law audio content, listen to the Expert HR Weekly podcast. The team there is running a competition for listeners at the moment, so if you fancy winning an iPod Nano or a charity donation, go to experthrcompetition.co.uk and find the podcast itself on the Expert HR homepage. That's experthr.co.uk. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember to go online to check the latest news and views from the HR community at hrspace.co.uk, and remember to follow up these stories on personaltoday.com. Until next week, goodbye.